marriages would be better if the husband and wife clearly understood that they are on the same side. Let's pray. Father, I thank and praise you for this day. I thank you for this time, Father, that we have in your word that we can learn a little bit about the family. We thank you, Father, for your word and for just all the aspects of it and for your love and for your guidance and your direction. We ask that your Holy Spirit would just take full control now and that he would just teach us the things that he has written here in your word, and that we would just be able to get to be the better people that you want us to be for you. Lord, we know you know that I need your help here today, and we just ask for your help. We ask for your guidance. We ask for your direction. We just ask, Father, that you would just be with the service here today, Father, the service to follow, that is, and that the things that you've given the pastor to say, Father, that we could be come out of here, Lord, saying that we love you more and we know more about you. We just hold that before you also. We thank you now and praise you for just all things you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going over, you can go to Proverbs chapter 31. We're still there. We should be able to finish it up here very easy here today, hopefully. I had 20 things. We're down to 18 of them anyhow. Let me start reading here again just for curiosity's sake for you. Proverbs 31:10. And this here is a king. His mother is telling him what she feels that a woman should be. And he says, and she said, or the word here says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, and bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, her hands hold the distaff. And some of the stuff you have to understand is back in them times, you know, when the ladies did, they had staffs and things like that there, where they and spindles and things like that, where they did all their work with their hands and things like that. Today, I mean, you have the modern sewing machines and stuff like that ladies use, and there's nothing the matter with it. It's just a different time where things happen and take place. It's in verse 20 there. She stretches out her hands to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh her coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth in the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue in the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household. She eateth not bread of idleness. Let me see. This is where we pick it up here today. Verse 27 is where we pick it up. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. She carefully supervises her household, looking after all their needs. She's never idle. She does not goof off. She doesn't goof off. I didn't say nothing except she doesn't goof off. That's all I said. And looked. It's okay. I mean, that part there, you know, the goofing off, you have to do that, ladies. I mean, there's times where you just got to let it go and just goof off a little bit. It doesn't hurt you one bit, you know. Yes, most of the time you don't have time for that. But when there is the time is to come, you can goof off. My wife has goofed off ever since I knowed her. And there's nothing matter. Now, there's some stuff that she gets herself into some stupid predicaments, but she brought it on herself. So, And it's okay, but, you know, she has goofed off with, I mean, everyone that she has met with, you know, even her all the kids, you know, and she goofs off with her grandkids and just, you know, and there's nothing the matter with it. I just say, you know, there's nothing the matter with it. Here they're saying that she doesn't goof, but, you know, it's okay to do that. Carefully supervising her household, she looketh after all their needs. This lady here, she supervises, you know, she's a supervisor. She makes sure that everything, you know, is, and which we'll be looking at later on here in a little bit, maybe, we'll see. She supervises, you know, all the household, looking after all their needs, you know, all the things that the kids, the needs of the kids, the needs of her husband, the needs of just all that things, and she makes sure that it's right, you know. A lot of times, you know, in the mornings when things are really crazy, especially like Sunday morning here, she tries, I'm sure the Fedorov household is a little different, and so is the Help household a little different, you know, that they try to supervise the kids to make sure they have the right, this shoe here is on the right foot, and that's the right shoe that matches this shoe, and the same way with socks and everything, but sometimes it doesn't work, and it's no problem, you know, people understand them kind of things, but she tries to supervise those kind of things at least anyhow, so that's something that this lady does. Let me see here. She has a duty and she's conscious of it at all times. Proverbs 14:1 says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish pluck it down with her hands." It says here, "Every wise woman buildeth her house," and that's what they do. They're wise about that, you know, and they have wisdom about that, you know, and just I was looking here and I was checking out some things here, and I just seen some characteristics of wisdom that's written in my Bible here, and I kind of like that, and I'm just going to go over a couple of them here just for a little thing. Wisdom versus foolishness, characteristics of the wise. They give good advice. That's what the wise does. They give good advice. But the foolish, they're destroyed by lack of wisdom. Proverbs 10:21 says, "The lips of the righteous feed many, but the fools die for want of wisdom." So somebody that's wise, they give good advice. The wise, they enjoy wisdom. And the foolish, they enjoy foolishness. Proverbs 10:23. I don't know why I didn't keep my finger there. 10:23, "It is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom." So they give good advice, they enjoy wisdom, they work hard, and that's what the wise does. The foolish, you know, they're too proud to work. 12:9, and you have that today. There's no doubt about that. They're too proud to work. It's easy to get these different kinds of monies that they have out here for them that they don't want to work. I had told you the story before, but Nathan had worked up at Coalport. And I was even talking to one of the guys that worked with him that was up there. And there's a place there that's terrible. I mean, there's young people running around, just they don't work. One guy said he was looking for a job for 47 years. Never found one. What can I say, you know? There's the dope's rampant up there. The drunkenness is rampant up there. You know, that's just one place. It's terrible. And the state just spent over $1 million up there just putting sidewalks and stuff like that in for them, just to help them out. And that's your money. So, I mean, there you go. The one guy that he worked with, he's a case, and I'm telling you, he got so upset with them people up there. It's just unreal. He'd holler sometimes at them, "Get a job," and stuff like that there. But, you know, that's the way it is. But that's just what it's like here now, you know, today, you know, that they're too proud to work. Proverbs 12:9, he that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. So you see there that the wise, they work hard, you know. The proud, the foolish, they're just too proud to work. Receptive to wisdom, is a wise person. And the foolish will mock wisdom. Proverbs 14, 6 says, "A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth." So you see some different aspects here of it. I'm just going to read them off here. They're cautious with reason. A wise person is. A foolish person, they're just gullible. The wise is they respect wisdom. The wise, they're hungry for truth. The wise, they value wisdom above riches. They enjoy life. The wise, you know, they respond to correction. They pursue wisdom. They express deep thoughts. And they trust God's wisdom. So, you know, someone that's wise, and just like here that we're talking in verse 14:1, there says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish pluck it down with her hands." A wise lady here in Proverbs 31 here, she supervises. She supervises her household, and she looks after all the needs, and she's never idle. You know, she's never idle. And I know a lot of you women, and you're not idle. You're constantly doing something all the time. So you have that. And also one more verse back in 1 Timothy 5, verse 10. 1 Timothy 5, verse 10 says, this is just talking about a woman, and it says, "Well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she had lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, and if she has diligently followed every good work." So, you know, the Bible talks a lot about this, different aspects of the woman here and things like that there. So we see here that in this verse here that she supervises, she looketh well to her ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Verse 28 then here it says, "Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her." Her children call her blessed. Her reward for her hard work is the love and admiration and devotion of her grateful husband and children. Ladies, you think you never have an end to your work. You never get appreciated or anything like that there, but you do have something to look forward to, according to what the Bible says. You have that reward, you know, that love and admiration of the husband. And husbands, you better appreciate what you got, you know. There's lots out here today that all they do is fight. So appreciate what you have, you know. If you have somebody that's a hard worker, if you have somebody that just follows along to these things here that we just talked about in the past couple of weeks, you know, appreciate it. You know, tell her that. You know, don't be afraid to tell her that, you know, that she's a hard worker. Don't be afraid to praise her. Don't be afraid, you know, to do these things. The same way with children, You want to bring your children. A lot of people, they're talking about children. Bring your children up, you know, thanking parents and things like that for some of the different aspects, you know, that they do, you know. It says here her husband is grateful, and her children too. They're grateful for what she does, and tell her these different things. Someone that was grateful for his mother was, let me go back here and read it to you. 1 Kings chapter was Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 19. Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adoniah, and the king rose up to meet her, and here's what he did, you know. He bowed himself unto her, sat down on his throne, and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right hand. That was, you know, that was something to sit at the king's right hand, you know, and for the king to even come and bow to his mother. So he appreciated his mother. He didn't appreciate some of the things, if you read on there, why she was there and things like that there, but, you know, but that was because of his brother. But anyhow, he appreciated his mother, you know, and so he admired her. He had to have married her. Somebody had taught her. She must have taught him, you know, for this admiration there to respect his mother. They had respect for him. Teach your kids to have respect. You know, that's something that you need to do. We'll be talking about that when we get into with the children stuff. But teach your kids to have respect. Husbands, have respect. Hey, your kids follow after what you do, men. You know that. We've talked about that. You see that. So teach them to have respect for their mother. You can do that. You know, that's something that you do. They watch you. They watch you. And they see you do these kind of things. And you can teach them to have this kind of respect. Okay. If you have any questions or comments, just start waving at me because I'm finishing this up, and we are finishing this up here right now here. But anyhow, her children rise up and call her blessed, all her husband also, and he praiseth her. And then 29 to 31 here, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and her own works. Praise her in the gates. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I think there's the key to the whole aspect here of it. Fearing the Lord. God-fearing person. You know, and that's what he wants us all to be. To fear the Lord. Fear the Lord and be devoted to him. You will not always have a pretty face, but a beautiful soul lasts and brings recognition and love. And I mean, it's true. You know, it's what's inside here. It's not what's outside, it's what's inside. You know, fearing the Lord is just one of the aspects here of it. And this is what he says here. Let's read some verses here on this here. Pastor, Proverbs 1:7. Mrs. Codner, Proverbs 8:13. Let me see here. Pat, would you go to Psalm 147:11? Natalie, Ecclesiastes 12:13. And I'll go back here to this other one in Exodus. Okay, Proverbs 1:7.
The fear of the Lord is the key of knowledge.
So it's the fear of the Lord there. That is what he's talking about. Proverbs 8:13.
The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and their forward mouth do I hate.
Psalm 147:11.
The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy.
And Ecclesiastes 12:13. The whole duty of man is fear God. In Exodus chapter 1, the Pharaoh came to the midwives and told them, kill all the male babies that are born. He wanted them killed. And this is what they did, starting at verse 17. But the midwives feared God. Now, somewhere along the line, they learned something. I don't know what. I don't know how. I can't tell you. The Bible doesn't say. But they knew God, and they feared God. And it says, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mightily. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. God took care of them because they feared God. They didn't listen to the king's commandment on that. It ended up, you know, the whole account on that, that Moses came out of this whole situation to be the leader to take his people out of Egypt. And I think this is one of the big reasons why that God made these midwives fearful, because of that whole situation there with them. So They feared the Lord. And I think that you can see here, you know, through this whole thing the lady here in Proverbs 31, the biggest thing here is fearing the Lord with everything that she does. And she's not afraid to. So we see, as he said there, as it was written down there, who can find a virtuous woman? For her prices is afar above rubies. We see a lady here that's virtuous. We see a lady here that takes care of her husband. We see a lady here that takes care of her family. We see a lady here that she's not afraid hard work doesn't scare her. She sews. She makes clothes. She takes care of the household duties. She does all these different aspects of this. She's not afraid to do these things. And she's a woman that she's not afraid to in her spare time. Even when she has spare time, it seems like here that she's making things and she's selling it to merchants and things like that. She's helping out with the monies with the families and just all those different kind of aspects of it. So she's fearful. She fears the Lord, you know. She's blessed by her children and her husband. Her husband's raised up because of her, because she's a good helpmeet and things like that there. So we see here that this lady is this kind of a woman. And so it's just one of them aspects of it here that this lady is. Questions or comments on that? On anything on this? Go ahead, Ron. Sure. I mean, this is just kind of like a guideline to go by, you know. Everybody isn't like this, you know, but yet they still, you know, there's ladies that just can't do some of these things, and there's no sense in getting upset over it or anything like that there. But it's something that, you know, that they could it gives them kind of like a goal, you know, to go after that if they want to. You know, that they can do these different aspects of it. Is this a perfect woman? No, none of us are perfect. You know, even if you could, if you did all these qualifications, there's no way. You know, you're just not perfect. You know, but we can strive to that perfection, setting ourselves goals and things like that there for the different aspects. And I'm just not talking about the women. I'm talking about the men too. You know, none of us are perfect. You know, and as we've been going through all this different stuff with the men and the women, you know, you can see that, you know, we all have faults, and we all can work on them, you know, and things like that there. And we can set ourselves goals and things like that also for it. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Now, I'm going to go over just a few things here, and there's not a whole lot of Bible verses at all with it, but it's just something that just goes along with this here. How were these qualities developed? How these qualities were developed in this woman? Well, number one, this woman disciplined herself to be strong, selfless, happy, not idle. Discipline is a key for anybody, man, woman, or anybody. You got to discipline yourself. You got to discipline yourself to get out of bed in the mornings. You got to discipline yourself to go to work. I mean, how many of you guys, you've worked, even you younger guys, I mean, you've worked quite a while in your life here already. How many times that you have to drag yourself out of bed just to go to work. But you disciplined yourself. You got to get up. You got to go do it. And that's just the way it is. You know, discipline is a key. That's a key for your children too. Discipline, you know. Teach them discipline. You know, if there's chores to do, you know, you've just got to train them to be disciplined to go do them. What will a child, if you have a child and you have something for them to do, what do they want to do? There you go, play. I kind of laughed at this here yesterday a little bit. You know what I'm talking about. Pam brought Isaiah down. We're teaching him to mow yard and stuff, and I'm having him mow my yard and that. And she brought him down, and he kept, Ashlyn was there, and he kept hiding from Ashlyn, playing with Ashlyn. And I just kind of smiling about this whole thing. You know, I'm outside working, and I'm building something, and she's, and I'm just waiting for her to say something, you know, and he just keeps out there, and he's running around, and he's goofing off. He's running around the house, you know, trying to hide from her. And I thought about this. I thought about this whole situation about, you know, discipline. And finally she said, I heard her saying something about, Isaiah, I think it's time for you now to go get the mower to start mowing the yard. And
that's a good excuse.
Huh? Okay, so I didn't hear that, but anyhow, so you see, and that's just a normal thing for any kid. I mean, you know, they're teenagers. I mean, there's some here that's gonna, they're starting to get in close to teenage years. You're gonna find out that's the tough times. You think the tough times are now when they're young? You wait till the teenage years. That's when all the arguments and the fights all kind of start, you know, and stuff like that there. I just heard about the other day about a guy. It's not, I mean, he married his wife, but she had this boy, and he got him in there where we work, and he works there with him. And I'm surprised that they let them work together. That's just what surprises me. You know, a lot of times they don't let, you know, the fathers and sons and things like that work together. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But they were working together. They're at a gas well clear up on the other side of Emporium working there. And there was something about the other day, I don't know exactly what will happen, but he told him to go do something. Now, this is a kid that's in his 20s. He told him to go do something. He didn't do it. He didn't do it. And I guess that's the first time that I've even seen him or heard about him. I mean, I didn't see this, but I heard about it. But, you know, that I've worked with him, he blowed up. And he actually pushed him around and shoved him around, they said. They thought there was going to be some fisticuffs going on there. You know, it's just one of them things where these teenagers, you know, it's just they're between a child and an adult at that particular time, and they're, you know, the child ideas take over instead of the adult ideas on some different situations. And a lot of you know exactly what I'm talking about that had teenagers. You know exactly what it is, and so those kind of things happen. But, you know, discipline them children. You have to discipline them. This woman, she disciplined herself. She disciplined herself for these different aspects of this, you know, and just some of the things here that I'm going to, a couple of the other things here that I'm going over, it all stems back with discipline. You know, everybody has to discipline yourself, you know, for different aspects of it. The second thing here is this woman organized her time. She put God first, have those morning devotions, and got everything else done. See, you got to discipline yourself if you're going to get up to have those morning devotions. You're going to have to be an organizer, especially you that have bigger families. You got to organize. Even if you don't have bigger families, organization is something that, you know, a lot of people do. They sit down and think about the day. Just like yesterday, I thought, okay, I have this, 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 and 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 this to do. Now, there's not enough of time in the day, but I got to get organized. You know, I have to think about it. Okay, I'm going to do this first. I'm going to do this second. I'm going to do this third. You know, and that's just what you do. You just got to organize, you know, and get as much done as you possibly can. Don't get upset if you don't get everything done, because a lot of times you're not going to. But organization is something, you know. But just like this lady, she started off, she organized her time. She put God first. And a good Christian, being wise and everything, will do that. God is first in your life. You know, she had her morning devotions, and then she organized the stuff, got everything else, and she got everything else done at that particular time. So that's how some of these qualities were developed in her. You know, that's just how they happen and take place. You got any questions or comments on these things, just raise your hand, because I'm keeping on going here. The third thing here is this woman got up early in the morning, as we just said, but she a good start is half the battle, and kept working late into the night until her jobs were done. And a lot of times that works. A lot of times it doesn't work, like I just said. But, it, you know, it's just one of them things. So and the good start is half the battle. There's times where, and I mean, I do it. You know, you wake up in the morning pretty early, you know, and if you have a day off, you think, okay, I got to get this stuff done. You wake up and you think, oh, man, just 15 more minutes. Just 15 more minutes, you know, and you lay there 15 more minutes. Oh, man, just 15 more minutes, you know, again. You know, and finally you get up, and then when you get at it and you get at your work and you think, if I just would have got up at the time that I wanted to, I'd have got it all done. But I didn't, you know. It's just that 15 more minutes, you know, is what it was. So, you know, getting a good start is just half the battle, you know, making yourself do it. And the last thing here is this woman worked hard. And she was a hard worker. And that's how these qualities were developed into her. She developed these qualities, you know, with them kind of things. Questions or comments on them? All right. The last thing here with these here is the result of living this kind of life. The result of this. This kind of woman is valuable, worth more than precious jewels. And she is. She's worth more than this here with these things, you know, as we see here, just some of the different aspects that she did. The second thing here is this kind of woman has a husband who believes in her and can trust her. Man, trust your wife. Trust her. Don't be afraid to trust her, you know. Let her do things. Let her go. We're going to be talking about in a little bit. I don't know if we'll hit it today here or not, but we're going to be talking about that she can run errands and things like that. Trust her to do that. You know, trust her. You know, you can trust her. Believe in her. Believe in her that she and trust her that to do it. You know, I send my wife away for different things all the time. You know, and I trust that she can do it. And I believe that she can do it. You know, I have her pick up car parts for me and things like that there. You know, I trust her. There's no doubt about it. There's sometimes, though, I tell her, now, when you're going out here someplace, do not stand there and talk an hour and a half. Get the stuff back to me. You know? She wanted to go to the bank the other day. We had to go to the bank to do some banking. And she said, okay, I'm going to run down. I said, go ahead, run down to Milheim and get your stuff because I'm eating lunch. And then she was going up to her work. She had to take the stuff that she was getting there and taking it into her work. And I told her, I said, don't stand in there and talk, because I was supposed to go in at night shift to work. And I said, I've got to get some sleep here this afternoon, you know, if this happens. Well, luckily it didn't happen anyhow. But I said, don't go in there and talk too much. So she did. And then she called me and we went to the bank and did her things. And so I got home in a decent time. But I knowed if I wouldn't have said, don't stand in there and talk, I know what would have happened. An hour and a half later, 2 hours later, she'd have called me and said, okay, I'm headed to the bank now. So, but trust her. You can trust her to do these kind of things. Okay, the third thing here is, this kind of woman has a husband who is known and effective because he has such a wonderful wife. She's his helpmeet. She's his right hand person, if you want to call it. She helps him. That's why he is that the way he is, because of her. You see, she's the helpmeet of it, the whole aspect. She puts that other half of stuff together that men can't do, okay? Or that men try to do and blow it. But anyhow, she's the one that does that, you know. That's what this kind of woman does. That's result. That's some of the results here of this here. And the next thing here is she's the kind of woman that has children who call her blessed and feel happy and fortunate to be in her home. We just talked about that a little bit, you know. Teach your children to respect their mother. Teach your children to respect, you know, their father. Things like that there, you know. Teach them to do that. And then they will feel happy. And they will feel fortunate to be in their home. The fifth thing here is this kind of woman has a husband who praises her and rejoices in the treasures God has given him as his wife. That's the thing that today is missing. Many marriages, and especially out here in this world, there's nobody praises one another anymore for anything. You know, if your wife makes you a good meal, man, and you sit there and you just chomp it down, then tell her that she made a good meal. You know, a lot of times we don't do that. You know, if it's something that you like and you love, praise her for it. Thank her for it. You know, thank her for making that kind of thing. Praise is something. And same way with raising children. That's one of the keys. Praise your children. When they do something good, praise them. I'll bet you if they do something wrong, you're not praising them, but you're chewing them out. I'll guarantee you that. But when they do something good, what do? Do you say anything about it? Or do you just you know, let it go? Praise your children. I'm reading, I told you last week, I was reading this book on raising children. And it's just one that I wanted just to see how some different people think. But he has in there about all the spankings and the using the rod and all this and that stuff and training and all that stuff. I picked it out right away in it. I'm three quarters of the way through the book. There's no praising whatsoever of the child. Nothing. Nothing at all. You can't do that. You can train your children, but you better praise them too. They got to be lifted up. They got to be praised themselves when they do something good. You know, even and especially teenagers. That's something they definitely need. In their life, there, you know, because they're, like I said, they're in between this and in between that, and there's times where they need praises. It's just like I said to Isaiah yesterday. I said, "You're doing a great job." I said, "But here's a few little details that you have to work on." You know, when you're mowing, you know, don't blow the grass on the sidewalk. You know, turn. You know, keep it. I told him afterwards. I said, "You're doing a great job. It's just a few. You're just going to have to learn a few little things. You know, as you're mowing grass. You know, that you have to do. Because what if he does go out here someday and he mows grass? What if he goes up to Penn State and mows grass every day? There's guys up there. I'm up there, and Corby will tell you, and Nate will tell you, they mow grass constantly every day, every day. I don't care if it's raining. I don't care if it's pouring. I seen them have their raincoats and everything with them. They're out there mowing grass, you know. So, you know, it's just a job. And it's just like I say, you have to show them the different aspects of that. And that's just one of the things that, you know, hopefully that'll, after a while, there's lots of things that he's picking up already on mowing, but that's just one of the aspects of it. It's just part of the training. Part of the training process, you know, and the same way with training them, you know, giving them praises. You got to praise them for them, different aspects of it. Something that I wish that I'd have known when I was younger, when I was bringing up my children. There's a lot of things here that I've gone over, a lot of things that I've read already. I wished I could do it all over again, but I can't. So hopefully that I can, and even some of you older ones, you know, when we do get into the children process, that we can help these younger ones, you know, some of the stuff that you wish that you could have did over, you know, to help them out, that they don't go through those things. And that's just one of my goals that I have whenever we get through this. And the last thing here is this kind of woman will hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all." That's all something that we're all looking forward to, you know. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, you know, for the Lord to say to us. You know, are we worthy of it? Many of us aren't. So, you know, who knows what it'll be like, but we'll find out. We're going to find out. Okay, questions or comments on any of that stuff? Corby.
Heartbeat of discipleship there. You know, it's a responsibility of the older Christians to not always just the doctrines of the Bible, although that's really important. It's all facets of life, especially when somebody doesn't get saved until the later years. And there's a lot of things you're just clueless about.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible talks about the older teaching the younger, and that's something that sometimes misses.
Oh, discipleship is very important. I'm really, you know, that's something that I feel that's very important, especially for a Christian to get saved. My wife and I got saved when we were young, I was saved when I was about 16. She got saved after we got married. But, I mean, we had a Sunday school teacher that, it was a lady, but she it wasn't too bad, some of the things that she taught us, but it just wasn't the right stuff. It wasn't the stuff that you needed, you know. And we needed that then because we were both really green, you could say, if you wanted. We needed just the milk, you know. We needed that taught, and that's something that is very important, you know. And the same way with, you know, bringing up your children is just something that's very important. They're green at these things, and you've got to show them. You've got to teach them. If you don't teach them, if you just expect them, hey, I got a job where I work. They just expect you to know everything. And that's why sometimes they'll tell me something, and I'll throw up my hand and say, yep, I'm a mind reader. You know, they just give you stupid stuff to do that you don't, you know, that you've never experienced it before. You know. So it's just craziness, you know, in some of them aspects. Tell them. It doesn't matter, you know. Explain it to them. It only takes you a few minutes. So it's just one of them things. Yeah, and discipleship, just what you're saying there, you know, that is something that's very important. Okay, any other questions or comments? We're stopping here. The next thing we're going to be looking at is why should I be able to help my husband? And then after that, we're going to get into six different women in the Bible that ruined their husbands. I can't wait to get into that lesson. I've been going over that. That's a good one. That is a good one. You know, just different things of it. You know, and some of the things there that you never thought of. You know, that happened and took place. You know, with that. And I'm not saying that to be smart or anything, but that's just one of them things that, you know. It's going to be a good lesson, you know, with it because of them. It's something I think you can learn something from. I really do. That's just one of the things about it. Okay, no questions or comments? Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time. I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you for the different aspects of it. We ask for your guidance and direction now with the service to follow, and then with the things after that to follow there, Lord, as we're getting ready for Bible school. And, Lord, we're just asking that you would bring the children in here now, Lord, that you want to be brought here. And we ask for some that would get saved. And, Lord, that we even see through them there, Lord, that their families would get saved and would start learning to grow for you. So we just ask, Lord, that you would just do these different things for us, and we'll praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.